Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on current events in the economy right after this. Well, welcome to Tax Freedom Day. Here in the United States, that occurs in May. This year, it was May 12th. You work all of January, February, March, April, and a third of May to pay your income tax for the year. That's right. 5 months to pay your income tax. That's not all. Then you get to work for the rest of May and all of June to pay your other withholding taxes, 14 in all. Now, this income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal enterprises. This income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and Social Security is the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. This income tax and Social Security also violate three of the Ten Commandments, eight statutes of the Bible, and it violates our English common law. Now, there are about 14 million Americans who are not enrolled in Social Security, and more are opting out every day. That's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? Why don't you call or write today for our free General Law CD package? Remember, it's free. To order your free General Law CD package, just call direct and order it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the archives page and you can download that free General Law CD package right there, georgegordon.org, and go to the archives page. Hey, we've been talking about current offense or current affairs, current events here in our economy, and I picked up just one issue of the International Forecaster. We've been talking about that all week. It has a number of topics that Bob covers, and last time we talked about health, and there was another little health issue in here that has to do with vitamins and minerals. Vitamins and minerals. Now, I'm not a vitamin salesman. I'm not here to get you to buy vitamins and minerals, but if you are a vitamin buyer, and I am, we buy vitamins and minerals here, there's a conspiracy afoot. You see, as more and more people buy vitamins and minerals, they are sick less and less of the time. Let's think about this. What if there was absolutely no sickness or disease in America starting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock? What would that mean to our economy? If every person who has cancer was cured, just picture Jesus coming back and he just says, "Be healed," and everybody in the world is healed of all the diseases that they've ever been afflicted with. Well, I know that's kind of crazy, but just think of it. Do you know what would happen to the American economy? Well, we'll think about it. Because it's pushing $2 trillion a year. Now, $2 trillion a year out of $14 trillion, is 2/14. That's 1/7. Or put another way, it's about 15-16% of the economy would just be stripped away suddenly overnight. Economic chaos would be the result. Every nurse, every doctor, every health care practitioner would be unemployed tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. God, you talk about unemployment. The biggest single job creator in America today is the healthcare industry. They're creating 30,000 jobs a month. And all of a sudden, you're going to take that away. Boy, wouldn't that be spectacular. Well, that same healthcare industry, you know, the drug industry, making all those pills and all those profits, all the druggists would be unemployed. Walmart would take a hell of a hit, you know, in their profits. So these drug companies and doctors and healthcare providers and all, they have a vested interest in your sickness. And the sicker you are and the more sick people there are, then the better economic times that the medical industry enjoys. Can you understand that? It isn't that your doctor is sitting there saying, well, what can I do to make you sicker? I'm not suggesting that he's doing that, although he might. It's in his best interest. Because health is the enemy of the healthcare industry. So the last thing they want is health. And there's a big multi-billion dollar aspect of the healthcare industry called vitamins and minerals. And people like me and maybe you and a bunch of other people, we buy vitamins and minerals so that we don't get sick. Now, I mentioned to you in the last program, last time I saw a doctor was in 1990. I had gout. I thought I jumped off the back of my green dump truck and I thought that I'd hurt my ankle or broke it or sprained it. And come to find out, I'd killed a cow that week, or a bull, was a big steer. And we'd been eating a lot of meat. Now, when you eat a lot of meat, you get a lot of this acid. There's I forgot what they call it now, but there's some kind of an acid that you get. They're called acid crystals, and they lodge in your ankles, in your joints. Oh God, it hurts like hell. And so, you know, you jump off the back of the truck and then you got a hurt in your ankle. You say, well, I must have sprained my ankle. So I went to the doctor. This is back in 1990, 21 years ago. And I said, hey, x-ray this doc and tell me what you think. He did. And he said, well, you don't have a sprain and you don't have a break in your bones. And so let me give you some painkiller. He offered me a prescription and I said, well, I don't think I need that. He said, well, if you're hurting, you need it. I said, no, that hurt down there is probably caused by something that we don't know. Now, here I went to the doctor, paid him $75 for these two x-rays, gave me a prescription. I said, keep it. Came back home. My wife told me, so I told you, you got gout. You've been eating too much meat. So I quit eating meat, and about 7 days later, the pain went away, and that was the end of it. So when I went to the doctor 21 years ago, he couldn't do anything for me because he didn't know what the hell the problem was and couldn't figure it out. But my wife did. Now, my wife's a pretty good old heifer, and what she does is she feeds me. I sit down at the table to eat my porridge, you know, in the morning, and she pulls out all these pills. And there's a bunch of them, and there's vitamin this and vitamin that. And the other day, I got the flu or I got cold or something. And you know what she did? She just loaded me up with vitamin C. And that's what, some big scientist years ago was selling. He was selling vitamin C. What was his name now? Paul something or other. I'll think of it here in a minute. He's probably long dead by now. But anyway, I remembered that story. And sure enough, I ate vitamin C for about 3 days, and the sickness went away, and I didn't have to go to the doctor, and I didn't have to get a flu shot, and, you know, I'm just happy as a clam at high tide. Now, I don't know how much money I spend on vitamins and minerals, but I would doubt that it's more than $100, $200 a year, maybe three. Let's get really outrageous, $300 a year, it'd be a dollar a day. Well, hell, one visit to the doctor. I went over to this doctor the other day. I told you I had a little health care problem, and I went over to this doctor, charged me $70, not just to talk to him for 5 minutes. And then he said, I'll solve your problem for $500. So it's going to cost me $570. Well, hell, that's a 2-year supply of vitamins and minerals. You know that? So I wanted to tell you a little story here about these vitamins and minerals because they're going to disappear from the shelves shortly. I don't know just when, but there's a group of people that are out to get these vitamins and minerals off the shelves and out of your life. And that's because the healthcare industry wants that business for themselves. And they're going to just take it away from the guys that have got it today. So there's a letter from the audience here. And so there's a section that Bob Chapman puts into his newsletter every week, twice a week. And here's a letter. It says, Dear Bob, hope this finds you and the missus in good health and spirits. I'm sending this one along today to share if you think it's indicative of the move to ban vitamins in any reliable strength or consistency without a prescription, and then only Big Pharma can make it. And there's a name for this, and I kind of forgot what the name of it was, but they have been doing this for years, and they have gotten it passed in Europe. You got to have a prescription to get vitamins in Europe. I think they've got it in Canada. If they haven't, they've just about, and they've been pushing for it for years here in the United States. Now the people of the United States have beaten it back and beaten it back, I don't know, 10 or 15 times. But the big pharmaceutical companies aren't going to take no for an answer, and one of these days they're going to get it passed. And when they do, vitamins and minerals will come from your doctor by prescription. And they're going to take that aspect of your freedom of choice away from you. Now, again, I'm not here to get you to write letters to your senator or to your representative or, you know, do this or do that. I don't care what you do. I'm just going to tell you what I did. I went down because I think they're going to do that, and so I went down and I bought a bunch of vitamins and minerals. I've got a whole bunch here. I have about a 10-year supply. I had a guy ask me the other day, how long do you think that vitamin C lasts? And I said, I don't know. But I know it lasts 10 years because I've got vitamin C here that's 10 years old, and that's what I used the other day to cure my cold or flu or whatever it was. That vitamin C was in a powder, and it was so old that it had settled in the jar, and it was hard as a rock, and I had to break it loose like a hard sugar in a package. I just scraped it off until I got a teaspoonful, and I dumped it in my glass and stirred it up and worked like a shot. So I just wanted to point that out. Now, you need to keep it, you know, in the basement, and you need to keep it in a cool, dark place and store it properly. If you store it reasonably, I think it'll last 10 years. So I got about I recommend a 4-year supply, because I think that from the time the economy collapses until the time that it's reorganized again, about 4 or 5 years. You take like World War II, how long does it take to run through? About 4 years. World War I, 4 years. World War III, yeah, probably 3 or 4 years. The Great Depression, now that was strung out from 1930 to 1940, 41, about 11 years. It did. That was stretched out quite a bit, 12 years. So having a 10-year supply isn't beyond the scope of reason. But when excesses get to be so great that corrective action has to be taken, whether it's a Great Depression or whether it's a war, it runs its course, and then when it runs its course, we get back to normal again, you know, or some semblance of normal. It's during this period of chaos that we need to be concerned. And so this writer, this listener here, this reader, he said, I just read the other day a statement that said something to the effect, there has never been a death proved to be attributable to a vitamin overdose, but thousands have died from bad drugs, and yet nothing is said about that or even done about that. So tell me, folks, doesn't that give you a huge clue? Well, it did to me. Hey, that's a good point. And I mentioned this to you in the last program. I said, these pharmaceutical companies are selling their drugs and they kill 130,000 people a year. Nobody has ever died from a vitamin overdose. Or at least if they have, I've never read about it. If you have, send me a copy of it. I'd like to read about that. So the moral to the story is that the powers that be at the FDA and at Merck and Pfizer and at the American Medical Association and in the White House and the Congress, those people have an agenda, and they have a money-making motive. And they're out to sell drugs and make money. And they're doing that, have done it, and they're going to continue to do that. And then there's an alternative to that, which is called vitamins and minerals and health products and healthful food, and they want to abolish that. They want you to eat more Big Macs, and they want you to eat less and less, and until you get down to no broccoli and no vegetables or fresh fruits at all. So I come along and I say, okay, what am I going to do to solve that problem? And I'm only concerned about little Georgie Gordon. I'm not concerned about you. I'm just telling you this story so that if you're concerned about you, you might want to take some kind of evasive action. Because these boys have it in their minds that they are going to abolish free trade, the free marketplace in vitamins and minerals. And they've already done that with drugs. Now they're going to do it with vitamins and minerals, and they're in the process of doing it with foods, and they've just about got that job done. You can't buy clean, healthy, wholesome, nutritious food in your supermarket. It doesn't exist there. You can get it at the farmer's market. You can grow it in your own garden. You can buy it in some specialty stores, health food stores and so on, but you ain't going to get it down here at Kroger. They don't carry it. So he said, I continue to prepare others reading this who are getting ready. They should be stocking up vitamins and minerals and the other food supplements needed by most of us. Having said that, I would also suggest that not all vitamins are created equally. Wendy at Apothecary Herbs has taken good care of me and my needs since you started sharing her with us. A true pro and very knowledgeable. So I encourage those of you who want to stock up, give Wendy a call, and don't wait, just watch the idiots that we call our political leaders and what they're doing with everything else, and you may become as concerned as I am. Best regards again, and may God watch over all of us who know what's coming and are preparing. And he signs off. Now, a lot of times people say, well, you're just trying to sell these vitamins and minerals, you know. Oh, no, I'm not here to sell you any vitamins and minerals. Sometimes I recommend a book and somebody says, well, he's just trying to sell that book. And I, no, I don't sell books here. I don't sell vitamins and minerals. I don't sell gold and silver. I recommend gold and silver for people. I recommend vitamins and minerals for people. I recommend healthy, nutritious food for people, but I don't sell that. Now, you don't need to buy your vitamins and minerals from Wendy Wilson. You can go buy them anywhere. I mean, hell, you can go down to any health food store and buy your own. My boy the other day, now he's health challenged, and he's got some vitamins and minerals that he needs, and CoQ10 and I don't know what all that he takes over there. I don't keep track of him per se, but he's got quite a bit. And the other day I said, son, how much CoQ10? That's one of the things that he uses. How much have you got? He said, I don't know. I said, well, don't you use that every day? He said, I do. And I said, do you have a 4-year supply? He says, I don't know. I said, well, do you know that at some point in time, that CoQ10 is not going to be available? And he looked at me like I was suffering from the terminal stupids. Boys and girls, CoQ10 has always been available, at least all of my lifetime and all of yours. And the idea that CoQ10 or vitamin C or vitamin A or omega-3 fatty acids is going to be taken off the shelf and you'll have to have a doctor's prescription to get it is unthinkable. I understand that. So I thought, well, let me think about that. And so as I'm watching my newsletters and I'm watching these various bills that are being introduced in the Congress, I say to myself, well, my God, these people are serious. They intend to take those off the market. They intend to create a monopoly here in vitamins and minerals and take those away from us and take away our choice. And so I went out and I got a 10-year supply. I got it all. Yeah, I'm just sitting here on vitamin C and vitamin A, and I got some flaxseed oil the other day, and God, I got a bunch of it. And then I got a bunch of flaxseed. Yeah, I've got flaxseed. Because I need the oil. There's a bunch of stuff here that I've got to have in order for me to carry out my own health objectives my way. And I may be dead wrong, and maybe I should go to the doctor and take more drugs. But I've elected to go the natural, holistic way, and so I'm concentrating on vitamins and minerals, and I've got raised beds, and I grow food here, and I've got an orchard, and then I've got dried food, and I just said to myself, well, what would happen if we had a Sarajevo here? What would happen if we had a tidal wave like the Japs just had over in Japan? And that affects me. You know, what would I do? Well, don't you think you ought to have a little bit stored up? And so this listener here, this reader, he said, hey, listen, let me pass this on to you. And so I'm a subscriber, and so I said, well, let me pass this on to you. Now, I don't care whether you have a 4-year supply of CoQ10 or flaxseed or flaxseed oil or not. It's no skin off my back. You can't buy it from me. And I'm not even advocating that you buy it from Wendy Wilson. I'm just a reporter, and I'm reporting to you one of these days it's not going to be available. And if you want to have CoQ10, flaxseed, or vitamins and minerals 4 years from now or 8 years from now, then you better stock it up because it's not going to be on the shelf for you to buy. All right, now with that much reported, let me take a look at another one. On page 15, there's a story here about cattle in the United States. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I believe Texas is the largest cattle-raising state in the Union, in the nation. Here in Missouri, I was surprised the other day, we're number 4. Missouri is number 4. I don't know who number 2 and 3 is, but I think Texas is number 1. Hawaii is a big cattle-producing state. They're not up there in the top 10, but they're big. They got a whole island over there. All they do is raise cattle. So, in any event, Texas, number 1 now, has been affected by a 2-year drought. Unprecedented drought going on down there. And herds are being eliminated down in Texas. I mean, they're just selling those cattle as fast as they can get them into the sale barn. And I heard a guy say the other day, he took a truckload of hay down for $100 a bale. $100 a bale. Took it down to Texas. I'm not sure that he made any money on it because it probably cost $105 to haul it down there. But anyway, the moral of the story is that the Texans are selling their cattle. And under commodities here, cattle futures extended their rally in Chicago, touching a record for the second time this month. As rising demand for U.S. beef erodes supplies that are shrinking as ranchers reduce the size of their herds. Now, you know, when you read that headline, that's kind of crazy. That's counterproductive. Wait a minute. If cattle are selling at an all-time high, and it's reached a second high in the last 30 days. The last thing that ranchers would want to do is reduce the size of their herds. They want to increase the size of their herds because prices are so good. Well, unless you're in Texas and you don't have any feed. So let me explain it. I'm a cattleman and I raise cattle. And this year we had, I think we're 2 inches behind on rain this year. And yeah, no big deal, you know. So average rainfall at this area here is 40 to 50 inches a year. And so we're behind 2 inches. You know, that's no big deal. But this is one of the worst feed years, one of the worst grass years that I've seen here. Damnedest thing I ever saw. We came into the spring with plenty of soil moisture, and the grass grew fine, but it didn't rain in June. I had feed in May, and then in June it didn't rain. June is normally the biggest rain month of the year here. By July, I was out of feed. Had it rained in June, I would have had feed through August. And so I had to start feeding hay in July. Can you believe that? Then it rained in August. And I said, oh, thank God. It rained in August, and we got some feed, and I quit feeding hay. And then it didn't rain in September. Well, by the time it started raining, October, in fact, just the other day it rained a little bit, now it's too late in the season and the grass won't grow. I'm out of feed and I'm feeding hay. I had to order another load of hay. I normally buy 3 loads. This year I had to order 4. And I'm not quite sure. I'm cutting back on mine, too. I just told the wife, I said, I've got 6 up here. I want to get rid of them. Now, I'm not getting rid of my mother cows. I'm not doing like the other guys are doing here. But, boy, I'm cutting back. I'm cutting back because prices are good, and I don't need the cattle, and I'm not sure about my feed supply. And here's what the problem is. When you run out of feed, you're out of business. That's the end of the argument. In the cattle business, you either feed your cows or you don't, and you've only got 3 or 4 days. I mean, you can't just say, well, we'll feed these cows next month. You know, we don't just say to you, you know, well, we're out of money, so we'll eat next month when we get our paycheck. You have to solve your food problem every day, you know, 3 times a day. Those cows have to eat every day. And when you run out of feed, then you have to buy feed, and when you're buying feed, then you're losing your shirt. And that's what's happened in Texas, and they're selling whole herds down there. And the story that I just picked up here, I said, oh, my God. Whew, I didn't know it was this bad. Like I said, you know, this newsletter here once in a while, you know, you get to it and say, well, it's got so much bad news in it, I can't handle it. Well, beef output will drop about 5% next year after high feed costs led ranchers to slaughter more breeding cows. That's the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They said that on October the 12th. The cattle herd totaled 100 million head on July 1st. Now, that's nationwide, 100 million head. That's the lowest for that date since at least 1973. Well, let's pause right there. 73, 83, 93, 103, 13. That's 40 years. You know, nearly 40 years ago. Well, the population of this country was 200 million 40 years ago. So if you had 100 million head in 1973 for 200 million people, well, when you have 300 million people, you should have 150 million head, but you've only got 100. So we're already short 50 million head of cattle to feed the population that we already have at the 1973 level. You got that? You starting to catch on to that here, boys and girls? Beef exports this year through August were up 27%. Exports. We're shipping the beef out of the country. They're buying it in China. And meat producers say yesterday's approval of 3 U.S. free trade agreements will boost sales further. So we made some more deals so we can sell some more beef to the South Koreans and a couple others. Supply deficits plus improved export demand are the key drivers. Rich Nelson, the director of research at Broker Allendale Incorporated in McHenry, Illinois, said in a telephone interview, there is a need for beef around the world. Cattle futures for December delivery climbed 0.4% to $1.23 a pound at 10 o'clock on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange after reaching $1.24, the highest ever for a most active contract. Prices last reached a record on October the 3rd, and they're up 25% over last year. Congress approved free trade agreements yesterday with South Korea, Colombia, and Panama, bringing an end to years of stalemate among U.S. lawmakers and offering what supporters said was the biggest opportunity for exporters in decades. The bills go to the president for his approval. All right, let's pause right there. I hear you guys. You're sitting there saying, hey, Gordon, you should be as happy as a clam at high tide because look at all the money you're going to make. You city people don't seem to understand the problem here. Yes, sir, Bob. Boy, I'm just happy as hell that the price of beef is a buck and a quarter a pound. And I really don't care about you having to pay $5 a pound for that same beef in the grocery store. I'm just tickled for myself. But here's my problem, and I already explained it to you. I just had a bad grass year, and we're not even in a drought. We didn't have a drought. In the Bible, God said, I will make it rain upon one place, and I'll withhold the rain in another place. He said, I'm going to turn your heaven to iron and your earth to brass. Now, there's a clause in here that says, I will give you rain in due season. Boys and girls, the rain has to come at the right time. Having the total amount of rain at the wrong time doesn't solve my problem. So I've got to cut down. Cattle that I would keep for further finishing, I'm going to get rid of because I don't want to feed them. Cost too much. So I'm going to dump them now, which means that next year we're not going to have them to sell. We're going to sell those cows and we're going to ship them off to China. That doesn't mean that you're going to have any beef to choose from next year. You're going to have less meat next year and higher prices. I'm not going to go without meat. I produce my own. I've got plenty for me. I'm going to be eating steak and potatoes from now on out, but you're not. That's the message for you, Bob. You're going to be a vegetarian for a while, and I'm not going to be a vegetarian because I've got my own meat. So either, number one, you need to figure out a way to get your own meat or to have a supply stocked up. So I'll tell you what I did the other day. I said, well, I better have some jars of canned meat sitting on my shelf. And then I went out and I ordered a barn the other day. I said, hey, I need to have a 4-year supply of hay sitting in there to feed my cows in case we have a bad drought and I'm unable to feed my normal 40 cow herd, and I'm down to maybe 3 or 4. So I'm going to have enough here to take care of my 3 or 4, just for me. See where we're going with this? Now, the boys down in Texas, you know, they'll keep a few cows for themselves, and there'll be enough feed there for 3 or 4 cows. But guys that have 100, 200, or 500 head have wiped out those herds. It takes 20 years to build a herd. 20 years. So when we're down to 100 million head, it'll take 20 years to boost that to 150 million. So I just thought I'd pass that one on to you, boys and girls. Our infrastructure, our manufacturing infrastructure that we sent off to China, okay, well, your food infrastructure that you have here in the United States is being dismantled and destroyed right along with it. And it isn't just the government done it, it's God Almighty himself lending them a hand. So I thought I'd report that to you and see where you want to go with that. All right, now I got to give you a reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, around the world, in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. So if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page, and you can download that free General Law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Go to the archives page and download it right there. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. We are reviewing the International Forecaster, a publication put out by Robert Chapman, and this is the 10-15-11 edition. It's the most recent one, last Saturday's. And I just covered a letter. Now, there was a second letter in here, and I covered the cattle futures market over here. Gave you a little report on what we're doing here at the farm. I'm not out of feed. I've got plenty of feed for the cattle I've got, but I'm sitting here looking at what has transpired this year, and it reinforces a problem that people in the city have. For instance, when we watch the weather, the weatherman on the 6 o'clock news, he says, wonderful news, it's going to be sunny all weekend. No, that's bad news. That means it's not going to rain this weekend, and when it doesn't rain, the grass doesn't grow. When the grass doesn't grow, we don't have feed for the cows, and it affects the price of beef in the grocery store. Now, it may be great for you guys if you're out there water skiing and having a good time on the weekend because you are totally divorced from reality. But the reality of life, boys and girls, is this. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Boys and girls, we are made up of the elements of the earth. These elements of the earth are required for us to live. So if you're going to have food, you have to have these elements of the earth. That's how simple that is. I mean, you don't have to be real smart now to figure that out now, do you? And so when my cows don't have feed, or when the rain doesn't come, and we don't have corn, and we don't have wheat, you know, we don't have these grains and one thing and another, then it raises prices in the stores. Now, have you noticed how prices have been going up? Have you been watching this inflation thing over here? Now, your government's telling you that inflation is down around 2 or 3%. I mean, it's just inconsequential. Just put it out of your mind. Forget about inflation. Now, I don't know about you, but by God, I just got to looking around the other day, and I looked at an ad that came in from Race Brothers. Now, the last time that I bought a field fence, this is woven wire field fence, 39-inch, I paid $89, and I saw it was $139 at Race Brothers. Last time I bought field fence was last year. In 1 year's time, field fence, and I have to have that to keep my sheep in, and I noticed that barbed wire, which was $39 a roll, it's a quarter of a mile, 1,320 feet, is now from $39 to $54. So let's see how much that is. $54. So if I take $54 and we take away 39, which is what it was, a $15 increase. 15 divided by $39, which is what it was, is a 38% increase in wire in 1 year. Well, now, once in a while somebody says to me, they ask me, well, what do you get for your beef? And I tell them I get $12 a pound, butchered. That's cut and wrapped, frozen, and ready to deliver. And then they look at me and say, oh, my God. And I say, well, it's organic. It's number one. We don't shoot our cattle up here with snake venom and monkey pus. They don't have any shots. And we don't feed them... what do they call these MGOs? We don't. They're all natural grass-fed beef, and they don't grow as fast as they do in the feedlots. And our cows don't have mad cow disease, and so on. So it's a better product, and it costs more money. But I got to tell you, boys and girls, that inflation here on the ranch is very noticeable. The steel fence posts, which were $2.60 about a year ago, are $4.99 today. Not quite double, but almost. And as I went down the Race Brothers ads, you know, I said, my God, look at the difference in price in just 1 year. Very significant. Now, it may be true that the price of computers went down, and the government's going to tell us, well, see, yeah, the price of fence posts have doubled, but the price of computers went down, so inflation is stagnant. Boys and girls, how often do you buy computers? And I know you're going to say, yeah, but how often do I buy fence posts? Well, let me assure you that when I buy those fence posts for $5, I'm going to pass that cost on to you in the price of my product. I guarantee it. And so does every other businessman in the nation. And then you're all going to end up being vegetarians before this is over. Now that's where we're headed. Now I just gave you a report on the number of cattle in the country. Last time I saw a maximum number, we maxed out a few years back at 127 million head nationwide. Now... you know, I've got a ranch here, and it carries a certain number of cattle. I have enough feed here for 40 head. I've got an operation that runs at 40. If I wanted to double that to 80 head, I could do that. It'd take me about 5 years to double that to 80. But to do that, I'd have to quit selling my heifer. So I would have to cut back on my sales for 5 years by about 50% in order to double the size of my herd. Now, and it takes 2 years for this heifer to grow up and have a calf, and it takes 2 years for that calf to grow up and be meat. You see, so you see why I'm telling you it takes you about 5 years to do that? Meanwhile, I have to have twice as much feed. If I'm going to double from 40 to 80, I got to have twice as much feed to feed twice as many cows. So that means I got to go out here and I got to clear another 40 acres. In this case, probably 80. Well, it costs money to clear land. It costs money to fence it. It costs money to double. And so I'm sitting here saying, well, I'm not going to double for a buck and a quarter, but for $2.50, I might double, you know. Now, every other businessman in the country is doing the same thing. And the prices that you're paying today are going to double. Remember this rule of 72? They're going to double. And that's because the government is printing and putting into circulation all these trillions of dollars of budget deficits every year. And that money is going to hit the marketplace in about 18 months. So that's about what it takes. So from QE1, remember they started this out with Bush, QE1, at the end of 2008. Okay, here's your first round of inflation. What I'm observing here is inflation at about the rate of 40%. 40%. We haven't got to real inflation yet. That was QE1. We've still got QE2 to hit the marketplace. And then this latest round, they haven't called it QE3, but they're already printing the money and putting it into circulation. I don't know what they're going to call it. But your prices from 2008 are going to be up by about 200 or 300% by the time we get to the end of 2012 or 13. How do I know that? I've already experienced the first round over here. I'm just Joe Sixpack out here on the ranch. Hell, all my neighbors are doing the same thing. They've all got the same problem. You know, when it doesn't rain on my place, it ain't raining on Dale's place, it ain't raining on Uchman's place, or Everett's place, or anybody else's. They got the same feed problems that I've got. Price of hay is up $10 a bale this year over last. That's 25% in 1 year. I paid $25 last year, paid $25 the year before, $30 last year, and $40 this year. Yeah. Now, you know, I get paid, and I get paid well, and I'm not arguing about my pay. We're getting a buck and a quarter a pound here at the producer level, and we're not complaining about that. All my neighbors are buying new pickups. Everybody's happy. But they're all cutting back on the size of their herds also, just like I'm doing. And that means less beef, higher prices. And at the same time, the Chinese over there have got all this money piled up that we've sent them in the form of bonds now. And they're going to hit the marketplace, and they're going to bid the price up. So there's where that story's at. You're going to pay more money for less beef. You're going to stand in line to share the shortage, which is what communism has always produced in the past, is producing today, and will continue to produce in the future. So if you want more communism and you want more socialism, vote in more politicians. That's what we need, more politicians. Listen to this. He said, I think a piece from the left coast. He means the west coast, but the leftists all live in California. So as I sit here typing away, my thoughts took me back at what I witnessed yesterday evening at our local grocery store. The particular chain that I do a lot of my shopping at is one of the better priced outfits in that they own a lot of their own real estate where the business is located. As a result, their pricing structure is generally lower than most of the competing chains in our area. Still, what I was noticing, the behavior of those around me in the store. Pensive would be a good word to describe customers walking up and down the aisles. There was no grabbing of cans and off the shelf and moving on to the next thing on their list. Instead, what I saw, almost blank expressions, as each person was being extra careful about each choice that they made. The pricing, you see, has changed how they shopped, and when a can of tomato soup is on sale for 99 cents, people think that's a real deal. My God, who can or should, by rights, be worth a third of that? But on and on, item prices have jumped up, and while the actual amount in the container has shrunk at the same time. For example, a 20-pound bag of dry cat food used to cost $7.89 to $12.89 a bag, depending on what kind you bought. Now the cheapest bag is $12.89. And you don't get 20 pounds anymore at 16 pounds. So even with no change in actual cash outlay, you're paying 20% more. Let me pause right there. I've been observing that over the last 3 years, starting about, you know, when this economic meltdown occurred in September of 08. When you went in the store, there was a can sitting on the shelf there, and it held 16 ounces. It was called a 303 size can. The number 2 can held 32 ounces. Now go take a look at the number 303 can. And they're 15.5, 15.25, 15, 14.75, or 14.5. And the other day I saw one at 14 ounces, a full 2 ounces less. Now, at the same time that they're putting less in the can, which is actually a price increase, they're now charging more money for the can. And that's what this guy just observed, just taking one example here, a bag of cat food. And I just gave you a couple of examples on fence posts and a roll of barbed wire. I mean, I could sit here and peel off if I had the catalog here in front of me. I could sit here and run through the prices of what this was a year, two, 3 years ago and what the prices are today. And when I hear some horse's patootie in Washington tell me that the inflation rate's 2%, that guy is totally out of touch with reality, or he's a damn liar. Now, one or the other. I don't know what his agenda is, but he isn't out here in the marketplace where I'm at. Now, this guy's out on the West Coast. He's giving me a report. This is what's going on in California. Well, let me tell you, partner, what you're seeing out there in California, that's what we're seeing right here in Isabella, Missouri. I go down to Walmart every once in a while, you know. Hell, I went into Harps the other day and I almost puked. I took a look at the cans. A can of pineapple, $1.69 for a 303 can that contains 14.5 ounces. That same can here 3 years ago was selling for 69 or 79 cents a can. Then I noticed they hit a buck. Then I noticed they hit $1.39. Yeah, then $1.69 for a can of pineapple, 14.5 ounces. And for 69 cents 3 years ago, we got the same can with 16 ounces in it. And then they're telling me, well, there's no inflation going on over here. Well, the price of gasoline here, you know, a year or two ago was down, or 3 years ago was down around $2. Now it's up $3.40. Price of diesel, you know, which was $2.50 a gallon, I see it's $3.59 now. You know, when I fill up the tank of my tractor, it holds 40 gallons, and it's $3.59 a gallon, 3.59 times 40 gallons, it costs me $143 to fill up my tractor. And my tractor will run about 2 days brush hogging on $143. I mean, I can get down there and put in 16 hours with it, 18 maybe. Well, okay, you can sit there and say, well, okay, you know, just eat it. Well, that means that I'm not going to clear as much land. That's a deterrent to me saying, let me go double the size of my herd so that we can raise the amount of beef to a higher level, a higher number of animals, and lower the price. Boys and girls, when you have a lot of something, it's worth less than when you have just a little bit of it. That's why socialism and communism have always been a poor economic model to follow. I call it the stand in line and share the shortage mentality. Now, the free marketplace, if you just leave it alone, and assuming that God doesn't put in the fickle finger of fate and take our reign away, it'll produce more for you than any other system ever devised by the mind of man or God. The free market system. But when you start tampering with that free market system, which is what we're doing here in the United States, and our government wants to put in more and more regulations. I mean, they got regulations on top of regulations on top of regulations. And if you want to know another reason why I'm not too anxious to get out there and do very much more, it's because my government wants to regulate me to death, and it costs money to comply with all those regulations, and I don't want to spend the money to do that, so I just back off and say, let somebody else do it. Going on over here, he makes another observation. He says, even if everything turned around today, the purging process will take years to clear up this mess. And what this means is a fundamental reduction in the standard of living for urban dwellers in America as they live now. So I think this guy's about right. You people in the city are going to take a hit in your standard of living. My thinking leads me to some additional observations. One solution is to buy bulk items and do much more from scratch cooking, as that is substantially cheaper in cost. That's a great idea. Except for one factor. Who does that anymore? people today are not chopping away in the kitchen anymore. In fact, quick and easy microwaved meals is the name of the game for most people. Now, how many people now, under 50, know how to make egg noodles or plain bread, for that matter? So it would seem that we have a generation that either is chained to pre-processed food or had better break out that dusty copy of Joy of Cooking. Okay, lack of know-how is established as a probable but eventually solvable problem. But the other factor is time. And these same folks who live in the urban areas have lives that are jammed full of other things that they need to do just to make a living. In fact, we have a very stressful society, a very stressful social structure with little room for cooking 7 days a week. Leisure breakfast on Saturday may be one thing, but pumping out decent meals that are affordable every day is almost a job unto itself. That's what we used to call wives and mothers. Somebody used to do that job, that was my granny, but now that person is needed to go out and make money to compensate for the taxes another partner is paying out. Now, ultimately, what we may be seeing is a transformation of how families operate as we move away from the present model of urbanized to suburban lifestyle. Now, out here in the West, the overwhelming consideration is water. It takes money to keep the infrastructure going and energy to operate the means of getting it to your house. Without water, there's no way to continue to exist. Electricity is critical, but water cuts to the bone and beyond. 3 days without it and you're roadkill. Food for worms. Ugly, but so true. This factor alone can render major urban areas into unlivable quagmires. Day one will be very upsetting as folks will begin to run short. Things like being able to flush the toilet or cook a meal on the stove may be gone. No matter what may be or what that may lead to societal breakdown, it'll happen in stages. But when the bottom falls out, then processes will go and they will fail quickly. Day two, folks are now going hungry and looking for something to drink around the house. The water heater will save many for a short time. A lot of food folks have need energy to make them usable or at least desirable to eat. So a lot of stuff's going to spoil in no time unused. Day three, panic begins to set in as the need to eat and drink will drive a lot of folks to do things that they normally wouldn't do. Hey, boys and girls, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee and start thinking about the future. And I'm talking about the next year, 2 years, or 3 years. Already things aren't looking good. Remember, this is the International Forecaster. It's depressing, but it's necessary. Necessary to be depressed, to get your head screwed back on straight and start thinking about what am I going to do for my family on day three. Hey, I'm about out of time again. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, around the world, in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. And don't forget that the thrust of this week's broadcast was the internationalforecaster.com. All one word, the internationalforecaster.com. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Remember to order yours by going to the website. Hey, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, folks.